And so it's like, we tried D&D in space. It didn't work out so well. I was like, because your spaceship was like a big fish, dude. It's not it's not fun. Make it have rockets. It's way better.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
So this week, joining us, we have Adam Jones. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great, thank you. And yourself?
Very good over here.
Just fantastic.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. We are very excited to have you. You have a relatively new podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, only as of this recording, 5 episodes.
Wow.
Very nice.
But we try to do a lot in those 5 episodes.
It's good stuff. Stellar Arcanum, for those mm-hmm. that don't know. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. It is a science fiction themed Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast. So the elevator pitch is I took this group of standard Dungeons & Dragons adventurers and I just throw them into space and see what happens. There's lasers and spaceships and elves and magic and it's crazy times and I love it and we're having a blast.
Nice. Yeah.
that's the summary of what's going on.
Yeah, that's good. I am a big fan of the show. I think it's awesome and it's different.
Thank you. Yeah, that's part of it. We really wanted to do something else because I come from a podcast that I know you're aware of because you've interviewed the DM before for Loot and Dagger, run by James Stiver. Great game. I have a blast in it. But we wanted to do something a little bit different. And because when we started, there weren't a whole lot of actual play podcasts out just yet. So the idea of just, hey, let's do a Dungeons & Dragons podcast was still a fairly fresh idea. But a few years later, it's like, ooh, that is that is what? So many. Mm-hmm. So many of them now. It was like I wanted to do something different, and there was some science fiction stuff out there, but there's a lot of science fiction worlds by themselves I don't necessarily dig. And I wanted to stick with Dungeons and Dragons. Well, I can't stick with Dungeons and Dragons and run a space adventure, or can I? And that's basically what led to it.
Nice. So you said that you basically took a regular D&D party and threw them into space.
Yeah, technically, Stellar Arcanum is a spinoff of Loot and Dagger because the characters start in the same hometown that the ones from Loot and Dagger does.
Nice.
So they share a shared reality. Yeah, they come from, they were very much traditional fantasy Dungeons and Dragons characters. And within a couple of episodes, I got them on a spaceship losing their minds. It's been a real treat to be able to run a game like this because I've grown up like in science fiction my entire life. Most of us have. And just to be able to go through the catalog of all the science fiction that I've enjoyed throughout my life and just cherry pick my favorite parts of all of them and try to synthesize them into one world, well, set of worlds, has just been an absolute delight. It's so much fun for a world creator.
That's awesome. And I mean, like you said, there's not a lot of people doing D&D in space. It's almost like it's this taboo thing to, no, you can't take me away from my castles and my horses.
You know what? I don't necessarily think it's taboo. That's not the feeling I get. I just think that most people don't get around to thinking about it because D&D is D&D and that's just all it is. Mm-hmm. Most people just, but when so far, literally every person I've talked to is like, all right, we're doing D&D, but in space, they're like, oh yeah. Yeah, that is interesting.
I forgot space was a thing. It's like, I don't know, uncharted territory.
It's like, I know about all these other planes of existence, but God forbid we go to outer space and do this.
You want me to leave the ozone layer? What?
That's not possible.
There's a certain generation of old timey D&Ders, I think, that got their fill of Spelljammer back when. And so it's like, we tried D&D in space. It didn't work out so well. I was like, because your spaceship was like a big fish, dude. It's not, that's not fun. Make it have rockets.
I mean, it's way space better. Fish are pretty neat, though.
Just no, space fish are neat. And I'll never say they aren't, especially if I ever meet one. It's like, space fish, you are so cool. I never said an unkind thing about you. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't the aesthetic I wanted to go for.
So I have to ask, how do you take the D&D that we all know and love in this high fantasy thing and then throw it up into outer space?
It is remarkably easy. Or maybe I've just oversimplified it to the point of nothingness. But we had a lot of practice because James... We used to run these games that were very heavily influenced by a little bit of sci-fi, very Final Fantasy-esque. So we've had a lot of practice in translating traditional rule systems to make them do things they weren't necessarily designed to do. So the mechanics all stay the same, but the flavor completely changes. And it's really, I found it to be remarkable how well the system is able to remain intact, but just managed to change the flavor of everything and it still works. Because a laser gun is just a laser gun. It may as well be a crossbow. There's no reason to say it isn't. Mm-hmm. It's just instead of a wooden bolt, it's a plasma beam. Right. And it's fine. So you might say, in a world where there are laser beams and crossbow bolts, how can they possibly do the same damage? And my internal reaction is because the people you're shooting against have way better armor.
There you go.
That by comparison, it's the same relative amount of damage. But ultimately, it's all about whether the action and story is fun and it's going. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go into how many hit points or what kind of mechanics and effects any individual thing has, because at least as of right now, I'm not writing a source book. So nobody really needs to see all the numbers behind the curtain. So I just try to tell the story using rules that people are familiar with, and I try to keep it as fun as I can.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense a crossbow bolt is now just a plasma beam.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah, because I said so.
Right, basically.
Let's move on, because don't you want to fight a robot now? Of course you do.
Well, I mean, all you're doing is rolling dice anyway.
Exactly. It's the basic mechanics are there. You know what you're doing. You're rolling your skills. You're rolling your dice. And nothing else really changes. Because, that's just the way we've been doing it. And it's been fun.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm very excited. I've got a couple podcasts that I've been trying to like finally finish catching up on, and Stellar Arcanum is one of the next ones that I'm going to start just binging and listening to, because that's the way I like my D&D podcast. Is I like to get down and be like, ooh, that was really good. I got to see what happens next and next.
I appreciate
and
that.
Next.
And I hope you do enjoy it. We're at a very sweet spot right now with just a handful of episodes out there. It's enough to people can listen to. It's like, all right, this is a real thing I enjoy, and then make sure to subscribe and listen to it in the future. But it's not so many episodes that it makes it daunting for people to try to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that really makes a big difference in jumping into a podcast or choosing something new to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It certainly has for me, because I try to listen to as many other actual play podcasts as I can, just so I can understand where the community is, what the kind of expectations are. I just really want to be, because let me tangent for a second. I have been so thoroughly impressed by the podcasting community since we started getting on board a couple of years ago with Loot and Dagger. It's just the nicest people, the most supportive people that I really didn't expect to be out there, because I'm usually used to the internet is where awful people are. And then you survive the internet at best.
Right.
And then we started putting this stuff out there, and everybody was just having so much fun with it, saying so many nice things, being so supportive. And it's just marvelous being part of a community like that.
Yeah.
And I felt nothing but that kind of support and love with Stellar Arcanum since we just announced our existence. Everybody's been fantastic. And I completely lost the train of thought I had before I went on that tangent. So if you could remind me, I'd be very grateful.
Now, yeah, we could totally rein you back in. No problem.
Or we can just find a new train. I mean,
really, yeah, the tabletop community as a whole is probably one of the greatest that I've ever been a part of,
yes,
participated in, or even just seen. It's beautiful. Always.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Usually.
You know, most of the time.
Frequently.
Quite frequently. That's, yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the story of Stellar Arcanum?
Yeah. Oh, man. I have spent a long time writing this. Because originally, this was going to be season 4 of Loot and Dagger. Was the original concept of where this all came from. Because James is like, hey, I've been doing this for a while. Maybe somebody else could take a chance behind the screen. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I started writing this story, and I kept writing it, and I kept writing it. And it was like, you know what? The Loot and Dagger listeners have come to expect a certain aesthetic from the game. And I think maybe we've gone too far in a different direction. Maybe I should just make this its own thing.
That's awesome.
So it kept its origin as being part of the same place. So the very beginning starts in a town called Mistport, which is technically kind of on Faerun-ish, but it doesn't need to be. It doesn't matter. And it's just we've made some various Faerun references in our sister podcast. And it's sort of under new management, and some wizards were like, hey, we thought, why don't we start looking for weird magic stuff around the city in case there's weird magic stuff? And, you know, it turns out we found one, like, right away. So why don't we get a group of adventurers to go and check that out? Because it's dangerous and we're wizards and we don't want to go.
We're squishy.
Exactly. And so they go and investigate, and it turns out it's a buried spaceship. And the moment they get inside, they activate some security protocols and automated functions, and before they know it, they're soul bonded to the ship, and it immediately teleports them to the other edge of the galaxy.
Did you just say soul bonded to the ship?
Oh, man. Like, they don't understand that yet, but...
Oh, geez.
So, minor spoilers. Spoiler. Which I'm actually a little surprised I haven't picked up on that part yet, but yeah. It should be real good.
So we need to throw the disclaimer in here. Cast of podcasts, do not listen. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler to the players, but the rest of you can know. It's fine.
The rest of you can know. No, it's waiting for that message to come. Like, what do you mean we're sold down to the spaceship? Wait a minute.
So the essence of it is the ship is really run down, and it's been missing for about 100 years. And they're trying to fix up the ship, figure out where it came from, what's going on, and figure out how and if they can get home. And that's pretty much where the story is right now. But there's so much going on in this collection of planets. So many political and military and corporate machinations, and they don't even realize they're caught up in all of it yet. And it's going to be a good time seeing where everything goes. And I'm really looking forward to not just the finish this season, but one of the interesting things I have found about writing a D&D story for a podcast has been pacing the story appropriately. It's so much more challenging than I originally anticipated. Because I've been running games for years and years and years, and usually it's just, I'm going to run a game, and however long it takes is however long it takes. And if they go on a tangent that takes them 6 months, well, they did, and it's fun. And we moved on to the rest of the story now, finally. But you can't do that in an entertainment medium, because it needs to be ramp up that certain amount of action. You need a cage, eventually you need a denouement and move on to the next story. And in case if you don't pace that out very carefully, you're going to get just a really messed up rhythm of story beats and emotional rhythms, and it's not going to be as satisfying as it would otherwise be. So trying to keep that in mind, the story's been, it feels like I wanted to tell so much more than I'm going to have time to. So it's been sort of picking out the most interesting pieces to make sure it's available for them to discover. And but also I want them to have the freedom to go wherever they want, and I want need stuff to be there when they get there too. So it's an interesting juggling act getting everything ready. But I have plenty of encounters for, if I can't fit it into this season, definitely the next couple. Because there's so many fun things you can do with the sci-fi fantasy stuff, like rocket orcs and, you know, cyber demons, and just an entire fleet of militant space drow. Like, it just, there's so much imagery that just captures the imagination immediately. Like, oh, I want to do all of this right now, but I can't. Yeah. They gotta go through a story or whatever.
Oh man, the story's gunking it up.
Right. I just want rocket orcs. Come exactly. on.
Yeah, like right now, the most recent episode we released, they are on a straight up cyberpunk planet completely inhabited by goblinoids. And they all have just trashy British accents. And it's just a blast. Like, their context name is Edmund. It's,
oh, yes.
It's just a delight. Mm-hmm. Edmund.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was fun. You remember, I assume you've both seen the IT Crowd?
Yes.
Okay. Well, one's enough. So that episode where they pretend to speak like football lads, and yes. the line was, oh, you see that ludicrous display last night? I did my best to take that and make it into an orc.
And oh, jeez. Like, oh,
you guys see that ludicrous display last night? It was just and full of planet with them, and it was just such a blast.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And that's the kind of crazy stuff I can just do because nobody's gonna stop me.
No, they're not. And I mean, my inner Monty Python loving self is like, I need to interact with this planet. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna live here, guys. I'm gonna hunker down.
And really, that's my hope for every planet. I want every place that we go to be the kind of place where, like, oh, I just want to live there, never leave. Because that's when you know you're doing an okay job as a storyteller. And we try to make every session as just as fun as possible, because our philosophy is, if we have fun recording it, hopefully people have fun listening to it. And so far, it seems to have worked out, because we have a blast every single episode. Sometimes it's hard to stop laughing long enough to record the scene.
That's how you know
and
it's
I
good.
And I like to think some of that joy just shines through.
Definitely. From what I've listened so far, it does. And you can definitely tell
really
that everybody's enjoying themselves, and that you are really into the story. And yeah, which I think helps a lot. In an entertainment podcast, I mean, everybody's committed, and
yeah,
makes all the
and
difference.
I do my best, but really, it's unfortunate that a lot of time the DM gets a lot of attention, because it's so much about the players. Because we did an episode zero just to get together and test run the characters and how everybody interacts. And I didn't bother really making any story for that episode because it was just a dry run. It was like, all right, get him out there, get him into like a fight and just see what happens. It's just getting our feet wet. And so I pulled this story just out of nowhere, various orifices, and they ran with it and made it amazing. They turned this nothing story and it's like, this could have been an entire thing. Holy, like I need to recycle this and make it into something real, because this was a blast.
Those are the best, though.
Yeah,
they are.
They really were. Like, I've got four players, and two of them knew each other, and the other two of them knew each other, and I've known all of them for like 20 years, but they hadn't all met each other. And so finally got them together. It's just, and I just crossed my fingers like, oh, I hope they like each other. I hope it doesn't get weird in here. And then we all sat down and they just immediately hit it off. And they started talking in character right away to the point where it's just like, hey, stop role playing. We need to get started on this role playing game. And it's just, I am just truly blessed to have such a great group of people to work with in this.
I mean, when you've got a group where you have to be like, all right, stop the shenanigans. We have to start playing games now.
Exactly.
That just screams awesome time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a great group of characters because I wanted them to have fun. Do we have enough time for me to talk about the actual characters a little bit?
Go for it.
I haven't been keeping track. So we got the lovely Miss Katie Downey, and she plays a Triton. And I've never played with a Triton before. She's an old sailor who happened into Mistport a while back and was just sort of adopted by one of the other characters. She's mostly a cleric, a little bit of rogue, and just is out there to have fun and just be ridiculous. Basically, just you're not going to be able to keep her out of the tavern, and that's probably for the best.
That's an awesome cleric rogue right there.
Exactly. And we got our editor, Miss Moretta Pettigrew, who's also my best and oldest, dearest friend. I've known her since I was 11 years old. She plays a human ranger named Tallulah Beauregard.
Oh, yes.
And she comes from she's from a minor noble family, and they try to get her to be an aristocrat, but all she wants to do is drink and hunt and flirt. And she's been pretty happy about making that her life up to the point where all of these shenanigans started. And we have Mr. Ken Nichols, who plays a tiefling sorcerer, who his official occupation is diplomat. So he tries to talk people in and out of trouble all of the time. And he's our resident straight man. He's the one that everyone can make fun of, and he just has to deal with it. And it's amazing, as he's so good at it. But he's also clever enough to have his own sly lines here and there through because when the straight man cuts you down, that's when it really hurts, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And arguably, so the fourth character is with James Stiver, and he plays a halfling dex-based paladin named Jack Russell.
Oh, jeez.
Of course he does.
And he was a member of the City Guard and has been for years. And you don't mess with old Jack Russell because he'll track you down and he'll get you, because when he bites, he never lets go.
Why doesn't this surprise me in the least bit?
I was actually really shocked at how well a dex-based paladin works out. It does, surprisingly. The numbers are pretty good. And the way he plays the character is just fantastic. And he brings just an extra layer of comic relief when it's necessary, because he's a real serious, tiny little law enforcer. It's so great. And the premise is they had all been selected by the local government and created into basically a strike force to go investigate the weird happenings. So they're the ones that got sent to investigate the weird magic signature that the frail little wizards picked up.
And now they're in space.
Oh, they're so in space. That is great. They have so many tropes to work with: robots and space stations and black holes and, oh man, all that's in my bright, bright future.
Oh, it's just, I mean, endless possibilities. All the planets, all the settings, mm-hmm. all the things, places.
Yeah, like, I get to pull from all of the fantasy stuff and all of the sci-fi stuff and just mix and match how I choose. And oh, the sense of power is intoxicating.
Oh, I love it. That's so cool.
I'm really glad you enjoy it.
For real. It's top-notch stuff all the way around.
Yep, I am currently downloading every episode that's out.
Yes.
So yep. Gonna be starting that tomorrow. I got some decent drive time on me tomorrow, so.
Excellent. Love it.
So why don't you tell people where they can find the podcast, where they can find you, get in touch, or anything in between?
Yeah. So the podcast is hosted by, you know, most of your major podcast hosting sources. Got your iTunes and your Stitcher and your Google Plays and your Spotifys. You can find it all there. If you need an index, you can visit stellararcanum.com. We have a list of all our players, characters. You can play directly from the site there, and you can look at the wonderful character art that we got made for us by the wonderful Star Pirate. She was an absolute delight to work with, and her art is amazing.
She is amazing.
So good.
So good.
And just so friendly. And I fell in love with her style immediately as soon as I saw it. Because, man, getting an artist is hard, but we're running out of time, so I'll move on. But you can find, we're at Stellar Arcanum on Twitter, and I'm at Meet Adam Jones, and all that stuff's on the website anyway. So that's all of that, I think.
Very cool. Thank you for coming on and talking about this.
Thank you so much for
awesome
inviting
project.
Me. It feels like a rite of passage into nerddom to be on your podcast.
Did we just get called a rite of passage?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a thing now.
I'm on my way to making it now that I've been on here. It's like, because I can go to places and they're like, Adam Jones, who are you? I'm like, oh, you don't know?
Now they will.
I was on the Mage Productions podcast. You better check yourself before you find your way onto wrecking yourself.
Just
that's
so,
not something you want to do about
just yourself. So everyone knows, the career starts today.
Exactly. Yep.
It is now allowed to start.
And again, perfect. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate being on. You guys are fantastic.
Absolute blast. We appreciate it.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com. On the website, we have free resources to help you with your game, as well as cool things that you can purchase to help support our show, including original Mage Adventures set in our homebrew world.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors for all the awesome people that help us bring you this show. First off, Hit Dice.
Hit Dice.
Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. Hit Dice is a meticulously edited real play of 5th edition D&D podcast that has amazing audio, a super fun cast. So if you haven't listened yet, you should.
Also, Kraken Dice, some of the best dice around. If you're looking for some awesome new dice, you don't have to look any further. Just go check them out, KrakenDice.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at KrakenDice so that you can keep track of when they are going to release new dice, because some of them sell out stupidly quick, and if you don't get them, you just don't get them. So go check them out there. And then when you find your dice that you have to have, use the code MAGE. And get yourself 10% off, because who doesn't like 10% off? Just keep in mind, you can not use that with any other discounts. So, you know, pick whichever one makes more sense for you.
And of course, last but not least, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups, What they have, like, phone cases,
mouse pads
and speakers and sweatshirts. Yeah, it's really absolutely fantastic. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything and put it all in your cart, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.
Check them out.
Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps me write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.